Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning Perek or Mizmor Membeis, the 42nd Psalm of the Book of Tehillim. And this is really a remarkable Mizmor in so many ways. It appears in so many different places in our lives and in certain life situations that we experience. Let's take a quick look at it as an overview. It is comprised of 12 psukim and 3 sections. But what is fascinating is that this Mizmor actually really belongs as part of Mizmor Mem Gimel, the following one as well. So Mem Beis and Mem Gimel really belong together. And the reason we know that is because there is one pizmon or refrain which keeps coming back. And that is the line, Mati shtoichachi nafshi vatehemi alai, hoichile lo lokim ki oid odenu Yeshua's pano. And the translation of that is, why are you downcast, my soul? Why do you moan within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the salvations which light up my face. That is, and it's repeated, Pasuk Vav in this Mizmor, Pasuk Yud Beis in this Mizmor, and the end of Mem Gimel, which in a certain sense shows us that this is a three-stanzaed greater psalm with a refrain which comes at the end of each subsection. In terms of the section that we're going to be focusing on today, we have, of course, two sections of those three in Mizmor Mem Beis. So there's the Kotevet. So the Kotevet is the inscription which is Lamnatzeach Maskil Livnei Korach. We'll come back to that in a few moments. And then there's two sections which are framed by this pizmon, by this refrain. The first section is Psukim Beis to Hay, that's 2-5, which talk about the incredible thirst of the Mishorer, of the narrator, to come close to Hashem. Tzoma nafshi lelokim lekel chai, my soul is thirsting to be close to Hashem. Amosai avovei ro'e p'nei Elokim, when will I see Hashem? And it closes with this pizmon, with a refrain. Then in the second section, which is Zion to Yud Aleph, which is 7-11, we have how the person who's speaking, the narrator, is describing the complaints, the troubles he has in his life. He feels he's unable to get to the place of Hashem. There's something withholding him. His enemies are disgracing him. That seems to be the overview. Now, in terms of the central theme, it does seem clear that the narrator, the Mishorer, is describing how he used to be able to go to the Beis HaMikdash to be proximate to Hashem, and now he is no longer able to. He is suffering, and that suffering is preventing him from going there, and he so wants to be close to Hashem once again. It's clear that the enemies of the Mishorer mock him and ask him, where is his God? This appears in both of the two sections we have in this Mizmor, and he is determined to overcome the hurdles and return to see Hashem. As we get into the Mizmor Mem Gimel, we'll see that the sense of relief and hope that he'll ultimately be saved by Hashem from them. And really, you know, to us, there are many times in our lives where we experience similar such experiences, where we feel that we are distanced from where we should be. We want to be in a place of greater spiritual yearning, and we're pushed away. It reminds me of a famous story. There's a story about a young chassid from a sect of Hasidus called Alexander. Most of the Alexander Hasidim were murdered in the Holocaust, but they were one of the largest dynasties of Hasidus in the pre-war Europe. And there was a young man, his name was Ben Sion, who whenever he would, he lived in a faraway village, but when it came to Yom Kippur, he would travel as a young teenager to Alexander to see the Rebbe, to be in the base manager of the Rebbe. And so he came early, it was Erev Yom Kippur, and he got ready, he went to the mikveh, he was eating, he went to the base manager to be early in the base manager to get a good seat, and there he was busy learning, he was busy davening in the base manager before Yom Kippur comes in. There was a knock on the door, and the gabbai came, and the shamash comes in through the door, and he says, and he walks over to Ben Sion, and he says, the Rebbe wants to see Ben Sion, he's a young 15-year-old boy, what could he want? So the Rebbe goes and says to him when he comes into the office, he says, Ben Sion, I have a special job for you. Yes, Rebbe, well, anything, what would it be? So the Rebbe says, well, there's an old widow who lives on the edge of town. She needs to eat because it's Yom Kippur, and she needs to eat, she's sick. I want you to be the one to go and make sure that she's fed. But not only she's fed, you need to also go chop the wood for the fire, and you need to cook for her. And even though it's Yom Kippur, it's Pikuach Nefesh, she needs to be taken care of. So here he was, this is the spiritual apex of his year, and he thinks that he's really going to have a close moment, and out he goes. So that's what he does. He goes out of town, he finds his house, he goes and chops the wood, he makes the fires on Yom Kippur, he feeds her. And he after a while, he spends the whole day with her, looking after her. She's in a very bad state of affairs. He feeds her, he puts her to bed. And after she goes to sleep, he runs back to the Beis Medrash at the end of Yom Kippur. This has been the whole day he spent doing something he never really planned for. And he runs back to see the end of Ne'ilah. He gets it towards the end. And the rabbi used to have a custom that at the end of Ne'ilah, he'd walk out of the Beis Medrash and the crowd would part. And everybody would try to get a bracha from the rabbi. So Ben Sion was there. He wanted to really make that moment. He gets to the Beis Medrash. He gets to the back of the crowd. He's already late now. And the Rebbe is walking, and as the Rebbe walks, the Rebbe looks around, sees Ben Sion, and he opens up the crowd, and he moves toward Ben Sion. He comes right up to this young teenager, 15-year-old Ben Sion, and he puts his hand on Ben Sion, and he says, "Good gedavent, Ben Sion, good gedavent. You davened well." Meaning that wasn't the davening he expected, that wasn't the spiritual type of experience he wanted on Yom Kippur, but what the Rebbe was saying was that it was the spiritual experience that Hashem wants you to be in now. And this is part of the journey that this Meshorer, this narrator, is describing over here, of being wanting to be somewhere where he can't necessarily be for circumstances beyond his control. In terms of the journey of this narrator, what is fascinating is you'll notice that there is actually a difference in the refrain, in the pizmon, as it appears in the first and the second and third time. So for instance, there's one extra word which is added in at the end, which is velokai. Up to in the first one, it is matzah shachachin av shivatay miolai ha'chile lelokim ki oed odenu yeshuois ponov. I will still thank him for the salvations of his face. In the second and third time, it appears is yeshuois ponai velokai, his face and my face and my God. He adds in my God, which is different because you'll notice in the first stanza, although it does mention Hashem, it's written as Beis Elokim, the house of God, God in general. No necessarily pronoun about God. He begins the second stanza by Elokai. The first word is my God. And there onwards, in that journey, he continues to add to the refrain Elokai, Hashem, my God, which is the personalization. He is now bringing Hashem into his life despite the suffering he is experiencing. In terms of the voice of this mizmor, it is a soliloquy, which means to say the person is speaking to himself or to his own soul and reflecting on the experiences and reflecting on his relationship with Hashem. In terms of events behind this mizmor, we always focus on a few of these things. We focus on overview and structure, the central themes, which is what we just did, and now the events behind the mizmor. So it seems pretty clear that the person wants to get to the Beis HaMikdash and be close to Hashem, but cannot because something is holding him back. And there are non-Jews who seem to be scorning him about his relationship with Hashem. It is not clear what is holding him back, and it's not clear when this person lived. What is clear, the conjectures could be one of three things. Rav Amos Chacham, the Dat Mikra, suggests it's a Jew who's living in the north of Israel, and he's captured by Assyrians and Armenians. The reason why we think it's in the north of Israel is because it's at the time the Beis HaMikdash must exist, because he wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and he describes being in the area of the Yarden and the Hermonim. Hermonim is in the north. So that's the case, that it's probably a Jew who's captured by one of the enemies at the time in the north, which is either an Assyrian nation or an Armenian nation. Rav Amos Chacham quotes his father, who says a remarkable idea, that it might be a Jew who's living in the tribe of Dan. Dan actually extended their territory to the area of Lachish, which is sort of in the area of the Golan Heights today, and they conquered a city up north there and settled down. They settled down with a shrine called Pesel Mecha. It might be referring to a person, a Jew, who is living in that place in that time and wants to go south to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but his compatriots, his friends, refuse to let him do that divine service, so he's being held up north. So it's not non-Jews are holding him back, it's Jews themselves are questioning why it is that he needs to go to the Beis HaMikdash. The Malbim and most of the other Meforshim actually suggest this refers to a Jew in Golos, a Jew who is experiencing Golos throughout all of history. So we're referring to whether it be in Europe or America or in Africa, wherever it is, Australia, Asia, where the Jews have been in Golos, they are all yearning to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the words Yarden and Hermoni are to be taken less literally. The Malbim goes on to say that there's three aspects of Golos, and one is the cessation of the Shechina, the next one is the end of miracles, and the third is the pain of unmitigated suffering. And the Malbim goes on to explain how each of the three stanzas in this combined Mizmor actually reflect each of those things, the lack of Shechina, the end of miracles, and the unmitigated suffering, which we'll see about in Mizmor Mem Gimel, which is the third stanza. In terms of the places this appears in our tefillah, it is in the Nusach Sfaradi. In the Sfaradi Nusach, it actually appears as one Mizmor, Mem Beis and Mem Gimel, and it is said on Sukkos. The Vilna Gaon also says that it is the Mizmor Shir Shel Yom on the second day of Sukkos, in Chutz Laaretz, or the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. The reason this is because the person is clearly describing their aspirations for Aliyah LeRegel, to go and ascend to the Beis HaMikdash, which was done on the festival. And it's also the Psikta explains that when it says Ki Evor Basach, Vasach refers to the schach, which Hashem protects us in. And similarly, Vayera Pnei Elokim, when asked, let me see the face of Hashem, refers to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was a festival held on Sukkos in the Beis HaMikdash. It should be noted that Arizal has this as the first of the Tehillim in a series called Tikkun Leah, which is part of Tikkun, the Tikkun Chatzos, and which is a section of prayer which would be said at midnight for people mourning for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz actually uses the refrain for one of the basis of one of the stanzas in Lecha Dodi. So Matishtachachi Navshiva Tehemi Alai obviously is the basis of one of the paragraphs in the Lecha Dodi. Rabbi Eleazar HaKalir used this as actually the introduction for the kina of the Asare Harugei Malchus, the 10 martyrs. He uses Elo Ezkarav Eshbecho Alai Navshi, which I will mention these and pour out my soul over them. That refers to Asareh Harugei Malchus. In terms of Psukim in the spotlight, one idea we've not focused on yet is the inscription itself, the introduction, which is Lamnatzeach Maskil Livnei Korach. For a leader, Maskil to the Korachats, to the children of Korach. What does that mean? What does B'nai Korach got to do with anything over here? So the Radak says, no, it means to say that the Levim who are serving the Beis HaMikdash are ultimately distant descendants of Korach, and therefore the people who are singing this are the people who are related to Korach. The Chida says, and with Rashi as well, that no, this refers to the actual B'nai Korach, the people who were in the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they had a debate within themselves. Should they listen to their father, or should they listen to Moshe Rabbeinu? Wasn't clear which way they should go. And they ultimately made the following cheshbon. I made the following calculation. If the Torah tells us that it's the Torah that tells us that we should honor our father, but it's the same Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu is upholding, then if we're going to believe that we should honor our father, it's only because Moshe Rabbeinu told us to do so. Therefore, they honored Moshe Rabbeinu, and because they honored Moshe Rabbeinu, they were ultimately saved from Gehinnom. They were saved from their ultimate end in a certain way, and they are now, as Rashi explains, giving nevuah, giving prophecy on the future, on all goddess, on all untoward events in Jewish history. This concludes Mem Beis. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.